Asking the questions mainstream journalists will never ask. This is your Richie Allen Show on richieallen.co.uk, Fab Radio 2 in Manchester, and triggerwarning.tv.
From Feature Story News in London, I'm Ollie Barrett. US President Donald Trump's doubled down on a call for NATO allies to spend 4% of their GDP on defence, even though only two-thirds of member countries are currently on track to meet the target of 2% by 2024. The summit's been wrapping up in Brussels, as Elena Casas reports from the city.
Eight more NATO countries have agreed to raise military spending to 2% of GDP. But if leaders thought that would appease the US president, they were wrong. Donald Trump was tweeting up a storm on the summit's second day, again saying the US spends billions on defending Europe and calling for the target to be doubled. Unlike at the recent G7 summit, the US did sign up to a joint communique containing fairly consensual language, but Trump also launched into a bitter attack on Germany, accusing it of being captive to Russia.
President Trump has now started a controversial visit to the UK. The Trump administration, meanwhile, signed an agreement that will allow Chinese company ZTE to resume business with American suppliers. This move lifts a three-month-long ban imposed by the US on the tech firm. Kevin McAleese reports from Washington.
Back in April, the US Commerce Department, which oversaw the deal, had hit China's second biggest telecoms company with tough penalties after ZTE was found to have violated US sanctions by selling products to North Korea and Iran. Along with a hefty fine, the punishment prevented the firm from doing business with US suppliers, a move that China said would bring the company to its knees. Trump promised to help the firm despite an intensifying trade dispute between Washington and Beijing. ZTE must now deposit $400 million in a US-designated account as a condition of the ban being lifted. Trump's support for ZTE drew bipartisan criticism from lawmakers who believe its products can be used by China to spy on Americans.
India's Department of Telecommunications has adopted rules that will prevent and prohibit internet service providers from monopolising the treatment of online content. India correspondent Neha Punia reports.
A year-long campaign for net neutrality in India has ended in success, with the government approving rules that ban the blocking, throttling and zero rating of internet data. As per the new rules, internet service providers will need to agree to implement net neutrality when they sign license agreements with the government of India. Any violation of these rules could mean that their licenses could be cancelled.
And stock markets in India have hit a new all-time high, boosted by optimism about company earnings and helped by lower crude oil prices. Rebecca Bunden reports from FSN Mumbai.
India's benchmark stock market index, the BSE Sensex, rose more than 200 points to hit a record high. A good start to the quarterly earnings season has helped improve sentiment, along with data pointing to a pickup in the Indian economy. A fall in global oil prices is another positive for Indian markets.
From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
Thank you very much, Ollie. Welcome to Thursday's programme. Hope you're well, hope you're good. It's dark outside and it looks like the clouds are... well, they're pregnant with rain. It might rain, apparently. We could do with a bit of it. 12th of July 2018. This is your Richie Allen Show.
Welcome back to the most listened to independent radio show in Europe. It's your Richie Allen Show.
And I do believe I've got a good show for you tonight. More on that in a minute.
It's the Richie Allen Show. Broadcasting live on richieallen.co.uk and multiple platforms around the world. And now, here's your host, Richie Allen.
Now, Michael Rivero joins us live from Oahu this hour. Can't wait to talk to Mike. We catch up with Mike once a month, of course. We get the lowdown on what's happening stateside, and we get the lowdown on the opinions there of what's happening over here. Mike Rivero this hour. In the second hour, Gerald Celente, legendary trends publisher, trends researcher, returns to the program. A lot to talk about. We will be talking about the Trump visit with both Michael and with Gerald, but other things as well. Thursday's program, live right now on Fab Radio 2 here in the great city. Tune in radio, triggerwarning.tv and richieallen.co.uk. On a balmy, on a muggy, on a humid, on a close, you don't hear the word close very often anymore. It's an old timer's word. Hot is very close, which means it's very humid. but those of a certain generation wouldn't have a clue what it means. Good to be back with you. Going to get this straight out of the way. Back, I will be with you tomorrow, Friday, at 4 p.m. live. Tomorrow at 4 p.m. UK time, live, in lieu of my absence this week. It was entertaining. My great friend and colleague, Jean-Anne Crowley, was here with me for a couple of days. So I will be with you tomorrow at 4. Phil Giraldi, former CIA officer, on the programme tomorrow. Put that in the diary. And if you can't make it live, it will be repeated at 7 p.m. UK time tomorrow. So it's been a good old week. Good to have my pal around for a couple of days. So it was. Lovely. Weather is marvellous. Right. So the media carry on then. The media carry on over the Trump visit. Well, it's just the media, isn't it? Kay Burley standing outside the US ambassador's residence in Regent's Park all day. The cameras at the airport interviewing protesters and supporters all day as well. Real sense of occasion, real sense of purpose, real sense of meaning, which is all theatre. As you know, I won't bore you with it. It's imbuing in the masses at home this sense of importance. You've heard me talk about it before. I won't get into it again. There were some belly laughs today, though. Did you see? I put a tweet out earlier on, and I think the tweet didn't get much traction because I foolishly used the word shitting in it. And I think Twitter is shadow banning and is basically blocking any tweet with anything that contains anything considered to be bad language. So I think I shouldn't have put shitting in it. But there was one little protest group standing behind one of Sky's presenters, because all of their presenters were out today at different parts of London to cover this spectacle. And there was one tiny protest going on behind a presenter, and it was about four middle-aged women. One of them was shaking a tambourine and the other one was banging a wooden spoon on a saucepan. Presuming now that Trump was to see those women, I'm fecked if I know what the message that they were trying to convey was. Maybe the wooden spoon represents the lady's desire to spank him for his misogynistic behaviour. I don't know, but I took a picture of the television and put it on Twitter. It's very funny, actually. Don't know what they were doing there, those ladies. But they were there. God love them. And, of course, everybody has the right to go out and speak and say whatever they want. What isn't so funny, of course, is the media's blanket refusal to talk about Trump's demands that NATO alliance member states increase their spending to 4% of GDP, which would double the expenditure that they spend right now. None of the media whoremongers asked what would that mean. Now, NATO chief Jens Stoltenberg seemed to indicate today that despite the NATO member countries saying, no, this is a non-runner, that Trump is actually making headway, getting NATO countries to agree to double their defence spending. The media refused to cover it, refused to speak to people who might give you an inclination as to what that would mean then, because if you double your defence spending, it's going to have some impact on the spending on things that actually matter. Health, education, house building, social welfare, of course. Oh no, it was just ignored. It was ignored. That's funny. I've learned to laugh. I had a bad time of it a few months ago where I couldn't look at it. Now I've just learned to laugh. But there was a lot of virtue signalling going on today. You would expect it. Remember months ago, when it was announced that the Donald would be here and that he would be... Would he get a state visit? Would he not get a state visit? Would he? Wouldn't he? This isn't a state visit. But at the time, certain world-class virtue signalers were saying that they were going to take to the streets to protest him being here, and they didn't want him here. So we have a bit of a countdown. Do you want the countdown? We've not done it for ages. Bit of virtue signalling. The chart rundown. Do you want the chart rundown? I don't know how good this is because I did this at the last minute, but we've got a bit of virtue signalling for you. Yeah, go on, we'll do it. Get in. The top three incidences of virtue signalling in the UK media today. You ready for it? At number three, it's the hysterical little bollocks himself, lefty, socialist, Owen Jones. Go on, Owen.
What we're doing is exercising one of the most sacred democratic rights, rights our ancestors fought for, to protest and freedom of expression, to reject the bigotry, the racism, the misogyny that he represents. This is as much, if you like, about Trumpism as Trump. And it's very important that now he's here, and some viewers will want him here, some won't, that there is a message in response that we will not be silent in the face of somebody like that being a misogynist, a racist, legitimising those views, emboldening people who share that hatred and that bigotry, and that we will not become Donald Trump's puppet, as some people in the government would like.
Yes, Owen, yes! At number three, misogyny, bigotry, hatred. Misogyny, bigotry, hatred. That's the name of the song. No, Owen Jones at number three. At number two, it's Owen Jones again with the remix of misogyny, bigotry and hatred. The remix!
I haven't said that. I've said if he is here, then we will exercise our basic democratic rights to reject the bigotry and the hatred he represents. And on Obama, I mean, it's just a complete waste of time using that argument against me. I was once denounced on Fox News for 10 minutes for having criticised and spoken out and condemned the use of drone strikes by Barack Obama. I took to the streets against Barack Obama.
Go on, son!
Foreign policy. What's different about Donald Trump is his racism and his bigotry and his misogyny.
Get in!
And we know in this country there will be fascists marching on Saturday,
yes, I see,
in the streets of London. They will be holding placards,
will you be
in
quiet,
support of Donald Trump. What does that tell you? When you have open fascists and Nazis,
open fascists,
all across Europe and
Nazis,
in America, who see Donald Trump as one of their own, they feel legitimised and they feel emboldened. The far right now in Europe is stronger than it's been since the end of World War II. We need to learn from history, and that's why I've said this is not just about Donald Trump. He's just a very striking example of a dangerous movement of racist and right-wing extremists,
bigot,
who at the moment feel strong,
misogyny,
they think they're on the march, and they're trying for this.
Brilliant! Misogyny, bigots, hatred, the remix at number two. Marvellous. What could be at number one? Well, it's only Owen Jones at number one. I think it's the first time ever that one artist has held the top three positions on the chart simultaneously. It's Owen Jones. You ready? Come on. Get in. And this is Hatred, Misogyny and Bigotry, the Super Deluxe Richie Allen remix. Here's Owen.
I would love it if you'd have joined me in the protest against Erdogan the other week. I've been to Turkey, I've spoken to dissidents, including people who've been locked up. What's the difference with Donald Trump is he's the most powerful man on earth, and therefore his beliefs and his actions have the greatest consequence of all. So when he walks away from the Paris Agreement as the biggest polluter, which is the United States in the history of humanity, that has consequences for all of us. It threatens the future existence of humanity, of our planet. And as I've said, this is as much about the racism and the xenophobia and the bigotry which we see in our own country and across Europe, of which he's simply the biggest cheerleader and the chief representative.
Go on, Owen, legend, top man, Owen Jones. The biggest fucking Muppet that ever lived, Owen Jones on Sky News Today. What a wonderful man he must be. So virtuous, so decent, so loving, so true. Wow. That's what you were getting today. And I could have been here about an hour playing clips like that. Not just from that idiot, but others as well. The champagne socialist, Owen Jones. Ridiculous little dude, isn't he? A ridiculous little dude. And of course, a world-class lawyer to say that he's in favour of free speech. Yeah, free speech if you agree with his progressive agenda. And if you don't agree with his progressive, narrow, fascistic agenda, well, you're a bigot, you're a racist, or you're a misogynist. He must have used those terms about 15 times each in that interview today. Drives me mad. Like I said before, and I'll say it again, it's identity politics. Getting people to take a side, getting people to aspire to membership of a group, an identity group, because when people pigeonhole themselves into socialism, and I was thinking about this today, if you pigeonhole yourself into socialism, libertarianism or conservatism, far right, far left, whatever, you know what you're doing? You are partially blinding yourself. That's it. That's the metaphor. Metaphorically, right there, you're throwing away 80% of your vision. And from seeing the world and people and events and politics in widescreen, on an IMAX screen, you're narrowing your sight to the point where you've got a 4-inch pocket black and white television. That's what you've got. It's crazy. But it's true. Now, Asad Rehman, or Rehman, I don't know how you pronounce his name. Asad Rehman is from the charity War on Want, and he was debating Trump supporter Sarah Elliott. Now, Sarah is with Republicans Abroad, and I think I interviewed Sarah a few years ago on another program. Asad Rehman, War on Want charity. He was in the middle, this guy, of a wonderful bit of virtue signalling of his own when she put a lovely halt to his gallop. Have a listen to this. You're going to hear him first now. He's speaking. He's War on Want charity. He's a virtue signaller, talking about why Trump is so bad. And then she puts a halt to his gallop fairly lively. Her name is Sarah Elliott. You'll hear him first.
This is the agenda. Back away from multilateralism.
Yes, because he protects.
Deny climate change, planet wrecking policies, give a green light to big fossil fuel industries to pollute the planet, and make huge profits on the backs of ordinary people. Look, this agenda doesn't benefit nor the American people, nor the people around the world. And it's really important that we reject it. And we hope that the American people themselves will reject it. And we do see that because I think ordinary American people are aghast at a president who normalises sexual violence, who normalises attacking people with disabilities, who tax the most vulnerable people.
Were you out in the streets protesting Bill Clinton, who's also been a woman harasser and raped Juanita Broderick? Well, were you out in the streets protesting him?
Allegedly. Well, let's just throw allegedly in case the lawyers are listening. Go on.
Well, let me tell you, I stand up for human rights, and I stand up for human rights everywhere and everywhere.
Everywhere and everywhere. I love this guy, Asad Rehman. I stand up for human rights everywhere and everywhere. He neatly sidestepped her excellent question. What about the rapist in chief that preceded Barack Obama? That preceded, I should say, George W. Bush, who was... Yeah. It must be the heat. That's right. It was Clinton, then W. Bush, then Obama. What about him? Allegedly, says Kay. Wow. You know, I can safely say this. Whatever you might think of me, and there are a gamut of opinions, and they've all got some merit, the opinions on me. I have no doubt about that. Nobody's ever been more careful than yours truly about libel. Ever. It's a specialist subject of mine. Libel. I know the legal... The libel laws and the legality of broadcasting, how you should and how you shouldn't broadcast, inside out, I had to professionally for many years. So, let me tell you, Bill Clinton is a rapist. And women ain't the half of it. This guy numbers among his friends pederasts like Jeffrey Epstein. He likes to travel, Lolita Airways does, Bill. And that buffoon Kay Burley, that ginger ninja, said allegedly. Wow. Give me a break, Kay. Give me a break. 18 minutes nearly past the hour. It's the Richie Allen Show for Thursday in this incredible heat wave that we're having. I want to ask you this, dear listener. Speaking to my friend, I mentioned Jean Ann earlier on. We were chatting about this over the last couple of days. Do you think the weather we've experienced in the UK is natural? Or do you think somebody inputted a command into a computer and we're getting this weather now at the behest of somebody who's using the weather for an agenda? What do you think? Let me know. Tweet at Richie Allen Show. It's at Richie Allen Show on Twitter. 18 minutes past the hour, and Michael Rivero will be on the programme in a few minutes' time, live from the, I've never been there, but it must be quite amazing, Oahu. Oahu. Umfafu. Iranu. See, if you're outside the UK, that won't mean anything to you. Look up Vic and Bob and you'll see. 18 minutes past the hour. Let me remind you again, tomorrow, Friday, 4 p.m, live with Phil Giraldi, CIA officer in the past. Excellent guy, Phil, where we'll have a lot to talk about, no doubt. So it's all Trump and Trump's visit. There has been a bit of Brexit news, but yeah, I heard the groan. They finally published this white paper today, this blueprint for future UK relations with the European Union. Theresa May said that it's delivering on the Brexit that people voted for and all of that. It doesn't really. It keeps the UK under the jackboot of the European Union. It keeps us in by default, and it is a monumental load of bollocks to say that it is a complete leaving of the EU by the UK. But I won't get into it. Farcical scenes in the comments today, when the new Brexit Secretary Dominic Raab was talking about the white paper and the members opposite him, the opposition Labour Party and the other parties, hadn't been furnished with a hard copy of the Brexit white paper. It was absolutely ridiculous. It was vaudeville, you could say. Right, 20 minutes past the hour. Very quick break. Back in a minute with more comment and shortly, Mike Rivero, live from Oahu.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Introducing the H2O app, a powerful water structuring application that programs vibrational energies into water through the use of different sound frequencies. Once programmed, the use of water for drinking, cooking, bathing. Give it to your friends and colleagues or spread it around the garden. The list goes on. It's not just water that the app can be used for either. It's great for programming crystals too. The H2O app is free to download and is available on both Android and Apple platforms. For further information, go to h2oapp.online.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever. Forever.
The Richie Allen Show relies on your support. Go to richieallen.co.uk and set up a monthly donation today.
Yeah, welcome back. It is exactly 21 and a half minutes past the hour. If you've got to be somewhere, you've probably still got time. Take me with you. You've all got smartphones now. Download the various apps. Trigger Warning, Hayden's app is brilliant. Tune In Radio, Fab Radio's app is terrific as well. And carry the programme with you wherever you go. Mike Rivero is standing by. He's just said aloha, which I like. So here's some Steve Earle then. I'm back with Mike after these. This is great.
I'm an American boy, come a long way. I was born and bred in the USA. So listen up close, I got something to say. Suppose I'm buying this ram. Well, it took a little while, but we're in this fight. Ain't going home till we're doing what's right. Gonna drink Camden Town dry tonight. If I had to spend my last pound. When I first got to London, it was pouring down rain. Met a little girl in a field canteen. Paint her name on the nose of my plane. 6 more missions, I'm gone. Well, I asked if I could stay, and she said that I might. Then the warden came around, and I shut out the lights. Death raining out of the London night. We made love till dawn. Well, we're jolly good lady, cause marching home. Chest full of medals and a G.I. loan. Baby, waiting at the station down in San Antonio. Marching home. Hey! My P-47 is a pretty good ship. She took a route coming across the channel last trip. Just thinking about my baby and letting her rip. Always got me through so far. Well, they could ship me all over this great big world. Never found nothing like my North End girl. Taking her home with me one day, sir. Soon as we win this war. But we're trying to go let it comes marching home. Chest full of medals and a G.I. loan. They'll be waiting at the station at San Antonio. When Johnny comes marching home. Johnny!
Broadcasting across the Manchester on Fab Radio 2, the Richie Allen Show, live on triggerwarning.tv. Tune in radio and richieallen.co.uk. 25 minutes past the hour. As far as radio shows go, I say this with absolute sincerity, they don't come much better than the What Really Happened radio show. Check out whatreallyhappened.com. Let's welcome back to the programme a monthly visitor to these shores with all the news and views from the US, our great friend and colleague Michael Rivero. Mike, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
Great to have you. You know, I love you and I love throwing curveballs at you, Mike, because we are obviously going to talk about Trump's visit to these shores and NATO and all of that, but I'm going to throw a curveball at you, my friend. This crazy weather we're experiencing in this country, is it natural, Mike, or is it getting some help?
Well, all weather is pretty much natural. I mean, everything has an impact on the climate. The global warming people, of course, want you to think that human activity is the dominant factor in weather and climate, but it really isn't. The human impact is actually quite small. For example, as you know, here in Hawaii, we have this erupting volcano down on the Big Island. It's putting more of these greenhouse gases into the atmosphere every single day than all the drivers in the United States. The sun basically is the controller of climate.
Yeah.
And again, politicians like to take something that happens naturally, declare it to be a crisis, and then offer to sell you a solution.
Very interesting, isn't it, Michael? Because while meteorologists like Piers Corbyn, brother of Jeremy Corbyn, absolutely agrees with you 100% and says that the temperature changes are cyclical, the evidence is there over thousands of years, we're leaving an ice age, and we can expect to have some good summers over the next few years. What I actually meant was, my friend, and I should have been a bit more specific, do you think it's getting any mechanical help? A lot of our listeners are convinced that, and I have to say I'm kind of convinced as well, that the ability to manipulate the jet stream in the weather exists and that it does happen from time to time. What do you think?
Well, there have been some fledgling efforts at weather modification, like cloud seeding to stimulate rain, which has actually resulted in lawsuits from one country insisting that another country is stealing their rain through the use of cloud seeding technology. But as far as any ability to dramatically influence and shift the weather, that technology is still beyond our reach.
That's it. We're going to leave this there because we weren't going to talk about that. But just as a matter of interest, it doesn't mean you're wrong, by the way. Of course it doesn't. But Piers Corbyn actually thinks it does exist, that technology. Anyway, there you go. Thanks for chatting about that. Let's talk about the visit to the European Union and the UK by the President Donald Trump. It's funny you mentioned climate change, Michael. It's one of the things that the UK media is using to not so much to bash Trump about, but to bring up just by his very presence. You know, they're doubling down on reinforcing this idea that man-made climate change, that climate change is a result of man's activity. You're aware of all the protests and all of that, Mike. What, is this just a big spectacle, Michael? Is this just a big diversion for people to distract them from what's really going on?
Well, I would imagine so. They're trying to kick up this huge fuss around Donald Trump. Certainly, Theresa May needs a distraction right now because she's fighting for her continued leadership in Parliament. There's already been a call for a no-confidence vote because her most recent deal for Brexit basically amounted to a total capitulation to Brussels and basically was a Brexit in name only or a Remain by any other name. And a lot of people are saying she's effectively committed treason against the voters of Britain who want to leave the EU and just cut, you know, go back to being a sovereign nation. And it's why so many people have now quit her government, including Boris Johnson, who is saying that Theresa May's current agreement would make Britain a colony of Brussels. So Theresa May certainly needs a distraction. She needs everybody looking in the other direction right now. And you have Donald Trump's distractors in general in this country. They're just following him around, trying to make it look like he's not liked here. And word has unfortunately emerged in this last week that Hillary Clinton is considering a run for 2020. And I've suspected this actually for quite some time. And I think that a lot of what we're seeing right now is tied in with that, including the violence in the streets directed at Trump supporters, the very liberal corporate social media starting to install filters to block off any conservative points of view and criticisms of Hillary, because Hillary understands it was the independent media and social media that really significantly cost her the election in 2016. So she wants that gone by 2020. It explains why they're still pushing for these open borders, because the Democrats are desperate to get this country flooded with illegal immigrants and get them registered to vote, because they'll overwhelmingly vote Democratic, even though they're not supposed to vote. But then the laws and rules don't really seem to apply anymore. So Hillary, I don't think, wants to run against Trump again in 2020. So she's out to destroy him before the primaries in 2020 so she can get a Republican candidate that she can steamroll her over.
There's never been a more evil human being on planet Earth. Well, I mean, maybe I'm being exaggerating there, but she's up there with the best of them. Michael, will she have any serious opposition in the Democrat Party? Will one of the Kennedys maybe come into the fray eventually? Joe Kennedy Jr. the third. There's a few of them, isn't there, in their 40s now in politics, I wonder. Or will she just be given, you know, a basic, you know, the path will be paved for her to get the nomination? What do you think?
Well, that's what they did in 2016. I mean, they're not going to let Bernie Sanders step back on him, because if he were to win the presidency, he would be out for revenge. Anybody who's in the Kennedy family is going to be looking at what happened to John F. Kennedy Jr. When he was on the verge of running for the Senate seat that Hillary Clinton later occupied. You know, and so they're going to be very, very cautious about that. I happen to be very much in support of our local Hawaii representative, Tulsi Gabbard, who's a Democrat. And I don't agree with her on everything, particularly her stance on gun rights. But she is definitely a rising star. But yes, I think in 2020, the Democratic Party machine is just going to hand it all to Hillary Clinton like they did in 2016.
It's interesting today, protesters have been talking about Trump and his alleged sexual proclivities over the years with women and assault and all this sort of stuff that they talk about today. And it's largely going unchallenged by presenters on UK television, which is typical of things today. Now, I don't know what Trump did or Trump didn't do, because I don't know him and I've never spent any time with him. But everybody's entitled to at least have the other side of it put out there. But isn't it ironic? I think one woman today from Conservative, what group is she from? Let me have a look there. Oh yeah, Republicans Overseas, she brought up Bill Clinton. And again, yes. I thought, how timely. You know, one of the things we've just, it's not that we've forgotten, I know you haven't forgotten it, but we don't talk about it enough. The Lolita flights, Haiti, everything that this guy's been up to, Mike. And I said to my audience earlier on, to my listeners, I said, look, I've been around broadcasting a long time, qualified journalist, had to know libel law inside out, have been very careful all my career, never saying anything that couldn't be substantiated, lest I be sued and knocked off the air. Bill Clinton is a rapist at the very least, Mike. At the very least.
Well, according to Juanita Broderick, and what's really enlightening, if you will, is how the American corporate media basically covered up for Bill Clinton. Even CBS 60 Minutes edited their show on the Jennifer Flowers story to make her look bad, make her look goofy, and help Bill Clinton win the nomination. But when it's a Republican who's involved, they'll take any little snippet of rumor and blow it on up and treat it as if it's an absolute fact. And once again, they now have egg on their face, because there was this story circulating about a month ago about how Bill Clinton had had an affair with this Playboy playmate girl, and had gotten her pregnant, had to pay for her abortion. And it turns out the story is pure fiction, because this playmate never actually met or talked to Donald Trump at all. And then, of course, we have Stormy Daniels, who admits having been paid a lot of money to make accusations against Donald Trump. And she just discredited herself by getting arrested in Ohio for violating that state's laws regarding striptease performances. So the liberals are already screaming entrapment, entrapment, entrapment. But once again, we're seeing that all of these allegations against Trump, they're fabrications. It's just one lie after the other, after the other, after the other. But again, I'm looking at the intensity of it, And I was trying to figure out why they're still going after Donald Trump when he's basically given the deep state almost everything they wanted,
certainly in terms of the war agenda.
Great point, Mike.
Why is that? He's a classic neocon Zionist puppet. So why the hell is it? Do you know what I think? Well, let me just give you a very 15-second summing up of where I am. I believe the whole thing is staged to keep us all imprisoned in our minds, locked into the belief that there's good versus evil, right, wrong, left versus right. Now, the players might not know that. The likes of Trump and others might not know that. But I think it's just all one big theatrical thing. That's how I see it. Why do you think it's thus that they're going after him despite the fact he's doing what they want?
Well, you have to go back and look at Richard Nixon's running for his second term in office, the Watergate scandal. And what it turned out was that CREEP, the Committee to Re-Elect the President, and the Dirty Tricks Squad led by Donald Segretti were basically out there sabotaging any Democratic candidate who might actually stand a chance of winning against Richard Nixon, and basically setting it up so that Nixon would be facing off against George McGovern, which would be an easy victory for Nixon. And indeed, despite the growing Watergate scandal, Richard Nixon's victory over George McGovern was one of the widest election margins in U.S. history. And I think Hillary's trying to do the same. She doesn't want to run against Trump again. She wants to run against some Republican that she knows she can easily defeat. And that's why they're still trying to get rid of Donald Trump before 2020.
Here's the question on that, because this, what we're talking about now is the real meat on the bones of all of this story. This is really important. Why wouldn't Donald Trump make more mileage out of the news that Bill Clinton was on Lolita flights with Jeffrey Epstein 24 times? Michael, come on. You don't have to be Lieutenant Columbo to know that Bill Clinton should be interviewed under caution, should be spoken to by the FBI. Why isn't Trump making more of that?
Well, Trump may not want to be seen as swinging at the mud balls on this one, because the fact of the matter is that the reason Jeff Epstein moved his center of operations down to the Caribbean was to take it out of U.S. jurisdiction. So whatever Bill Clinton and Prince Henry and all these other people did down on Epstein's island is outside U.S. jurisdiction. I am very frustrated by the fact that Donald Trump is ignoring the election fraud issue. He's trying to do something about illegal immigration, but he's not doing anything about voter ID. He needs to put on his presidential brass knuckles and really start cleaning house, or they are going to railroad him out of the White House in 2020.
What about the big story today that he said that NATO countries should double their defense spending from 2% of their GDP to 4%? Now, what's interesting about that is what you would expect to happen did happen in terms of Emmanuel Macron and Merkel and one or two others said, well, look, well, that's not going to happen anyway. But Jens Stoltenberg, the NATO chief, of course, the top man at NATO, allegedly, he indicated that, well, actually, Trump is making headway on that. I mean, that would have catastrophic consequences for the economies of those countries and for spending in those countries on vital things like, vital social services and vital public programs. That's a huge story. Who's he representing there? Who's told Trump to push for that? The usual suspects.
Well, he's representing the American defense contractors, because the implication is going to be that these NATO nations will buy their weapons primarily from the United States. And already we're hearing that orders for Patriot missile systems are going up. So, war is good business for the war business. It's not good for anybody else. But that's really what's driving it, the military-industrial complex. They're the ones pushing for all of these wars, for confrontation with China, confrontation with Russia, so they can sell more weapons, even though they're very expensive pieces of junk.
Michael Rivero is our guest. Check out whatreallyhappened.com if you haven't done before, live from Oahu in Hawaii. Great to have Michael on. There's no silly season anymore, Michael, is there? Things are so crazy at the moment, and I wanted to ask you about that. I was chatting to a friend of mine today who knows all about you, listens to your programme. And my friend is a bit, he's a local, he's not so local to me, he's a little bit south of where I am. And he said to me, with all of this chaos, Richie, all of this turmoil, in the past that's often indicated that we're very close to a major global conflict. And I said to him, not that I know anything, you know, I just guessed like everybody else. I said, well, in my opinion, maybe some of the more regional conflicts and the proxy wars might increase in their intensity. But I can't see bombs being slung at one another from Moscow and Washington, D.C. And all the rest of it. What do you think, Mike? Do you think my friend might have a point that all of this turmoil and lunatic-type chaos that we're seeing at the moment is building up to something even more tumultuous? What do you think?
Well, there's no doubt the degree of chaos in the world is on the increase, and certainly we'd like to avoid getting into a nuclear war with a military peer like Russia or China. The problem is they're pushing so close on so many fronts. Things could get out of control very, very quickly. I mean, you've got Donald Trump now talking about an invasion of Venezuela. They still haven't given up on finding some way to sell a renewed war in Syria to the American people. Right now, the United States is engaged in 7 officially acknowledged wars around the world. And according to Bernie Sanders, the U.S. is actually militarily engaged to one extent or another in 176 countries. So we're already into World War III. And it's not a cold war. It's a very hot war, and it's getting hotter every day. But a lot of the chaos that we're seeing, certainly within the United States, is a sign of the deteriorating political structure of our country. And I see it more as a sign of an impending Soviet Union-style collapse rather than as an escalation into a full-blown world war.
One of the things we've noticed here, and I have a contact at the BBC, and I have contacts in broadsheet newspapers in this country, and I was told a couple of years ago that the regulatory body that regulates broadcast media in this country, which is Ofcom, which stands for the Official Communications Act, is now starting to think about going after independent content creators and broadcasters. Now, speaking to my friend again today, he put a little bit more meat on the bones of that story. Content creators like me, who broadcast 5 days a week live and who take advertising revenue, will be gone after. And they're going to change the laws to say that people like me must, like every other broadcaster, must have a license. Problem is, Mike, is that when you do have a license, you are then subject to complaints. Members of the public can complain or they can invent complaints. And after several complaints where you might be fined and on an increasing level, you know, fines going up, then they might suspend your license to broadcast. Are you concerned, Michael, that in the next couple of years, as the agenda, this elite, this financial elite, bankster, but it's even worse than that, agenda is unfolding, that they're going to do even more than they've ever done to remove any opposition to it, and that the way we do our business is going to be attacked?
There's absolutely no question that's already underway. We're seeing it here in the United States, where, again, the corporate social media is cutting out channels of conservative points of view. And again, I think this ties in with Hillary's decision to run again in 2020, because she knows that it was the independent media and the internet that kept the news of the Clintons' crimes and scandals and corruptions in the public eye. And it was such a close election. She wants that to go away. The banks want it to go away because we're talking about the evils of private central banking. The military-industrial complex wants us to go away. And now you have social media like YouTube and Google launching a program to guarantee that their users will get reputable news, meaning they're going to prioritize all corporate media presentations of the news, and any independent views are going to be way, way, way down on the bottom of the search lists if they're even available at all. So, yeah,
really
they're trying
important
to capture the internet and turn it into another controlled media delivery system.
And you know, they've been doing it for 2 years. I mean, it's certainly not nothing to do with, I'm not bragging at all. I mean, it's 80,000 subscribers was small compared to a lot of content creators. But even when I had 80,000 subscribers before they deleted my previous channel, there were times when interviews with people like yourself who are, you know, you're very well known, interview when you've got 80,000 subscribers and I interview somebody like you or Gerald Celente or Ray McGovern, those interviews should get 15, 20,000 views at the very least. There were times when they weren't getting 3 or 4,000, Mike. And now we have a new channel that's got, I don't know, 14,000 whatever subscribers. It's the same. We can only get a few thousand. hits on it. They're shadow banning or marginalising our content. There's no doubt about that. A brilliant question has come in from Dean Smith. A lot of Twitter activity tonight, actually. People happy to hear you. Mike, it's great to have Michael Rivero back. Mike comes on with me, gives us his time generously once a month to look over what's going on here and, of course, across the pond there. Dean says, Richie, ask Michael if he's seen any symptoms from Fukushima or what he thinks might happen. Brilliant question, Mike. We never talk, or we don't talk about it enough. Radioactive water is still spilling into the sea there. What's happening, Mike? What's really going on with that?
Well, I'm only able to do airborne measurements here. I don't have the equipment to measure radioactivity in the seawater or in the seafood. Claire and I no longer eat seafood that is harvested from anywhere around the North Pacific here. It's been a real problem for our local sushi restaurants. People are very much afraid. Overall, I mean, right after Fukushima, we did see a notable increase in airborne radioactivity. It's kind of gone back down to the normal baseline. You need to remember, we live on an extinct volcano, and lava is itself naturally a little radioactive. So there is that issue. But there is no question that the radiation pouring into Fukushima or into the ocean from Fukushima is a problem. Not because it's flowing in the water, but because it's contaminating the fish, and the fish will migrate. And a fish that is contaminated at Fukushima is just as radioactive when it's captured for consumption over at San Diego, for example. And nobody's looking at it. Nobody's paying attention because there's nothing they can do about it, and they don't want to harm the commerce. I mean, the reaction that we saw from both the U.S. and Canadian governments right after Fukushima was to just reassure everybody, keep the seafood industry going. But we have a show on our TV here called Deadliest Catch, which is about fishermen up in Alaska. And a few years ago, they had their end of season wrap up show right here on Oahu. And one of their crew was a fan and invited me on over to watch the taping. And when these fishermen were off camera, when the cameras were turned off, all they were talking about was how scared they were that some student was going to go down to the shore, catch a crab, crack it open, put a Geiger counter up to it, and put the video on YouTube.
Wow, Mike, because that would be curtains for them, wouldn't it? That's the the king crab they catch. I've seen those shows. They're very good shows. They go out in the
most they are.
Dangerous waters, don't they? They risk life and limb to make a living. That's incredible. When researchers like David Icke and others, when they say that they suspect the things like Fukushima are deliberately engineered, Michael, to be a killer, to kill things, to kill life, do you have any sympathy with that point of view?
Well, I don't think Fukushima was intended to kill life. It's just a horrible series of short-sightedness and accidents. When the plants were being built, the money junkies were put in charge of the safety systems, and they kept saying, we don't need that, we don't need that, we don't need that. And there's an object lesson, because just down the coast from Fukushima is another power station at Onagawa. And the person who was in charge of building that station stood firm and absolutely refused to shortchange any of the safety systems. They had a very high tsunami wall. They had the emergency generators up on pylons. And it's a shame this person passed away before the quake and tsunami, because it vindicated him. Onagawa was the only power station that didn't suffer any damage. So these things can be built safely, but there's always somebody who's looking at the profit margin and saying, no, 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 we got to make this cheaper. We got to make this cheaper. And ever since then, it's been this comedy of errors. The ice wall didn't work out. The water filtration plant didn't work out. All they can do is capture the water that they're using to try and keep the remains of the cores from melting down further and combusting and just store it on the premises. But they have physically run out of room. If you go to Google Earth and you look at the Fukushima power plant, there's a little feature in Google Earth called the time slider, where you can go back and look at pictures taken in years past, and you can just see year after year, more and more of these giant water storage bladders, tanks, bins, whatever you want to call them. And they have literally run out of room. And so all they can do now is just dump the water into the ocean. And everybody knows it's a problem, but nobody talks about it because there's nothing they can do about it. and they don't want the voters thinking about it.
Yeah, and you made a good point earlier on as well. Livelihoods are at stake here, and people are terrified about losing everything. You know, I mean, if fishing, like you said about the king crab crews and fleets, how devastating it would be for that industry if somebody was to discover that there was some sort of anomaly with the crab there. These are crazy times, Michael. These are absolutely crazy times. I don't believe, I agree with you, by the way. I think these wars that you said that the US is involved in, that we're at a world war level of sorts. Anyway, it's not nuclear, thank heavens for that for now. But that's what's going to happen. These proxy wars maybe will get worse and worse and intensify. Just before you go, Mike, what do you think will happen when, is it Helsinki? I think it is Helsinki when Trump
yes.
meets with Vladimir Putin. What sort of mood will be, you know, with all of these obviously false, ridiculous, spurious claims that Russia swung the US election, utter nonsense, but also with Putin's support of the president of Syria, Bashar al-Assad. What do you think will really go on when Trump meets Putin? What do you think will happen?
Well, there's a lot of people who don't want this meeting to happen. There's a lot of people who don't want a one-on-one meeting to happen. The latest claim now is that Trump has been a Kremlin asset since 1987. They're really out to destroy this.
Jesus.
I'm hoping that Trump will go in there a little mellower than he has been dealing with NATO. Of course, even Trump himself came on out and said it's probably going to be a lot easier talking with Putin
yeah.
than it will be trying to talk with Theresa May. And it's entirely possible that they could come on out and say, yeah, we're going to ramp things down here. And again, the military-industrial complex doesn't want that. NATO doesn't want that. The availability of vast sums of money and weapons and promotion is based on having a perceived enemy out there. But I'm old enough to remember the original Cold War of the 1950s and 1960s. It was all a scam. And even President Eisenhower tried to warn us about this, about what was going on.
He did.
That it was just, that it was just about taking money from the American people for things that did not benefit the American people.
Michael, brilliant to have you on as always. Folks, go to whatreallyhappened.com. Bookmark Mike's website. Great stuff, my friend. Thanks again for coming on. Regards to Claire, and we'll do it all again next month with your permission, of course.
I look forward to it.
Thanks, Michael. Bye for now. The great Michael Rivera. Whatreallyhappened.com is the website. If you haven't been there before, I'm sure you have. If you haven't, check it out. Bookmark it. Updated on the hour, probably 3 or 4 times an hour, with vital information that you won't get on mainstream media. Mike Rivera. Right, we're going to take a break. Back with your comments in a minute.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever. Forever.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Introducing the H2O app, a powerful water structuring application that programs vibrational energies into water through the use of different sound frequencies. Once programmed, the use of water for drinking, cooking, bathing. Give it to your friends and colleagues or spread it around the garden. The list goes on. It's not just water that the app can be used for either. It's great for programming crystals too. The H2O app is free to download and is available on both Android and Apple platforms. For further information, go to h2oapp.online.
Welcome back to the programme. Welcome back. What time is it? What time is it? Is the question. Time is always good. It's 6 minutes to the top of the hour. Mad story on the BBC in the last few hours. Made me laugh. They've unveiled a flying car in California. And it's a car that will not require a pilot's licence. You won't need a pilot's license. It can fly, it can travel for up to 25 miles at a speed of 62 miles per hour, according to the BBC. I just saw this. I caught the tail end of a story today on the BBC, but I just saw the story on the website there. I'm trying to find out what altitude the thing will fly at. Does it even say, does it? Typical BBC story. Does it get very high at all? No. Doesn't appear to get very high at all. What an absolutely crap story that is. Doesn't give you the altitude. It can travel for 25 miles at a speed of 62 miles per hour. It will cost the same as a typical sports utility car, but early models will be more expensive. It's called Blackfly, or that's the company anyway, that is launching it. There you go. It's one person can only be in it. Only one person in a small cockpit, powered by 8 propulsion systems spread across even 2 wings. There you are. But not much by way of altitude there. How could they not put the altitude of it in the story? Oh, Christ. I've looked down it twice and I can't see it. Maybe I'm blind. Maybe it is there. Maybe you'll find out for me. Yeah, Blackfly, the latest attempt at flying a car, will be available eventually without a pilot's license. You'll only need your regular driver's license to take off. So presumably, your altitude won't be more than a few feet off the ground, presumably, right? Right, I don't know. I'm going to take some music and then... I said I would read some comments. Keep the comments coming in. It's at Richie Allen Show on Twitter. Thursday's programme, the 12th of July 2018. Good to be with you. Cartoon Drunk says, Gorbachev, in an interview, said at the height of the Cold War, Russia didn't have anywhere near the military and nukes that was being said they had in the media, but they were okay about it as it was saving Russia millions in money and in arms. That's a fantastic point made there by Cartoon Drunk. And I should have a little bit of audio there. Maybe I do, maybe I don't. I've saved it. It's one of those clips that's absolutely fantastic. I can't believe this. It's one of those days. I had a bit of audio. It's that clip from The Power of Nightmares, the film by Adam Curtis about the rise of neoconservatism on the one hand and the rise of fundamental radical Islam on the other hand. It's a brilliant trilogy. And in it, there's some wonderful audio of when Donald Rumsfeld was the Defence Secretary of the United States for the first time under Gerald Ford. And he was telling all sorts of porky pies, was Rumsfeld, all sorts of porky pies, about the capability of the Russian military, lying through his teeth, saying the Russians have been busy, they've been busy, 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 building up this, building up that, stockpiling that. Ah, oh, the Russians. And it turned out that he knew, at the time he knew he was lying. He knew that it was bullshit. And in fact, later on, the CIA themselves said it was absolute nonsense. They were keeping American men, women, children, society in fear of the Red Menace in the East. And they knew, of course, that it was monumental bollocks, effectively. And I can't believe I don't have the clip. I can't believe it. I've always had that clip on this desktop. Oh, but then again, yes, a couple of weeks ago, it was all cleaned and it was serviced. So there you go. That's probably the problem. Right. Okay. While we do something else, music. Don't forget, Gerald Celente will be on the programme in about 10 minutes' time, live from New York City, where we will, of course, talk more about the big story of the day, but we'll touch on one or two other areas as well. Keep the tweets coming in. It's at Richie Allen Show. Nice to know you're with me tonight. In the summer, in the heat, in the humidity, it's very warm. Very warm this evening. Big hi to Ricky Emmett, to Mawinga, who's listening to the show and tweeting, to Faisal, to Bob Stew, and to everybody else who's tweeting. Hi to Susan as well. This is Bon Jovi. Hi to Paul Craven, also asking about Fukushima there, as I was speaking with Michael Rivero. Living on a Prayer, back in 2 minutes. Well, Music from Bon Jovi, Living on a Prayer on the Richie Allen Show. Let me read you part of an email I had from a friend of the programme. And I use the word friend in all sincerity. And a very interesting lady who I've gotten to know called Jackie. And she sent me an email today and she's given me permission to read the email, the pertinent bit of the email to the programme anyway. "I've become so depressed lately, Richie," writes Jackie. "My son and his wife are about to have their second child. And his wife has told me that if I don't agree to have the whooping cough vaccine, I will not be allowed to be there to greet the baby and will have to wait till it reaches 6 weeks old, when it will have its own jab. They know I'm an anti-vaxxer and I hardly ever get sick. I had big plans of flying over before the birth to where they live. Apparently, she's heard, the wife, there is a wee epidemic of the disease where they live. I've done my research and the Western Australia Health Department advises that a person is only infectious for 3 weeks from the onset of symptoms, coughing and sneezing. I have forwarded this info to them and told them that, of course, I would not go near the baby if I was spluttering, even if it was just a common cold. But no, I never realised till now," she goes on to say, how upset she is about what's happened. And how, you know, if she doesn't have the vaccine, she basically won't be able to go to the hospital and be present at the birth of the baby. I wonder, do you have any opinions on that? I know the whooping cough vaccine is pertussis, right? Well, I say I know that, I'm guessing. I remember it might be pertussis, no? Or maybe there are several different types of vaccines for whooping cough. But I did read somewhere when doing research before a guest who was coming on to talk about vaccines, and my research led me to believe that pregnant women get the vaccine. Do they? Do pregnant women get a whooping cough vaccine as well? It's all crazy, right? But let me know what you think of that. She's obviously upset about it and distressed about it, that her son's wife, her daughter-in-law, has said you can't come to greet the baby and you'll have to wait till the baby is 6 weeks old after the baby has its own whooping cough jab unless you get a whooping cough jab now. Yeah. I suppose as more and more people become aware of the dangers of vaccinating, and as more and more people become aware of the implications of vaccinating your children, vaccinating yourselves, as more and more stories come out about what vaccines are doing to people, it's going to cause these types of problems between families, I have no doubt. So Jackie has my sympathy. I tweeted her, emailed her back to say as such. But if you've got an opinion on that, and if you've got a story similar to that, let me know by tweeting at Richie Allen Show and tell me if that's happened to you 5 minutes past the hour. Don't forget, tomorrow Friday there will be a live programme at 4 p.m. drive time UK time, between 4 and 5, maybe a bit later. It might run on, it could run on, it might go into 2 hours. I'll be joined by Philip Giraldi, the former CIA officer, top man, has been on the programme before. That's 4 p.m. UK time. And don't worry about missing it live, because it will be repeated at 7 p.m. And of course, like every other show, the show will be archived on Podomatic, it's on iTunes, it's on Spotify as well. Alrighty. So I just heard from Gerald Salente. That's good. That's very good. So let me... Paul Craven says on Twitter, "They play us like pawns on a board, Richie, and likened us to cattle. Oh, what a glorious state will be when these bastards end up in shackles." I hope so. Paul, I don't necessarily share your optimism right now, my friend, but I hope you're right. Bob Stew tweets, "Hi, Bob. Trusting a politician is like trusting Andre Chikatilo to run Mother and Baby Day Centre." Right, okay. Fair enough. Keep those tweets coming in at Richie Allen Show. Right, I'll take a very quick musical break to give myself a chance to line up Gerald Salente. Lots to say, as usual, I have no doubt, Gerald. If there's a question you'd like me to post to him or a comment, you need only tweet it to at Richie Allen Show. I know I've said that already, but I'll say it again. Right, in the meantime, while Gerald is coming on, no better man than a bit of Billy Joel. Fellow New Yorker for Gerald Celente. It is Thursday's programme. It's exactly 7 minutes past the hour, the 12th of July, on Fab Radio 2, TuneIn Radio, triggerwarning.tv and richieallen.co.uk. From Billy Joel, River of Dreams on the Richie Allen Show, approaching 10 minutes past the hour for Thursday, July 12th. Massive amount of tweets on the Trump visit and NATO and Stoltenberg and Theresa May and Brexit. Thanks for those. Nobody in my time in media has ever read the geopolitical terrain and used that ability of his to accurately predict what's coming down the line. Nobody has done that better. Then my next guest, you know all about him, the publisher of the legendary Trends Journal, which you can find out more about and subscribe to at trendsresearch.com, trendsresearch.com. Terrific commentator, broadcaster, very funny man as well. Let's welcome back to the show our friend Gerald Celente. Mr. Celente, welcome back. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you so much for the kind words. Very much appreciated.
You deserved them. Billy Joel, by the way, was at Old Trafford, Manchester, a month or so ago. I was there and I was talking about you to some people I was sitting with. He, of course, being a New Yorker as well, Billy Joel. And I thought of you there, Gerald. Having a beer, I thought, I wonder would the man Celente, I wonder would he be a Billy Joel fan? Are you? As a matter of interest.
Yeah, I like him, yeah.
Yeah, he's a good man, good New Yorker. Yeah. These are crazy times, right? The President of the United States is here. Hundreds of thousands of people, allegedly, are protesting it. He's been in Europe to speak to NATO. There's consternation about demands that NATO countries double their defence spending to 4% from 2%. We have all the Brexit stuff. Is it as tumultuous a time, Gerald, as you've known in recent years anyway?
Yeah, you know, every year it seems like it's crazy. I mean, you look back at all the wars going on. You know, I'm of the Vietnam War age. You know, I mean, there's sickness going on all the time, you know, and this is just another chapter. And, you know, I when I was a kid, there was this thing called the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus. And they hyped it as the greatest show on earth. Well, they're out of business now. Welcome to the greatest freak show on earth. And that's what's going on. You talked about May. You talked about Trump. How about Merkel? How about that little cutson Macron? One little jerk freak show after another. Name the country. Name the politician. And it just keeps going on and on.
There's no end to it. Who is the... It's funny, when it came out today that Trump said European countries, the NATO countries, must double their defence spending. And of course, the UK media didn't really delve into that in terms of what it would mean for spending on things that are important, you know, like health and education and stuff like that. And the NATO countries were saying, oh, well, that's just nonsense. It's not going to happen. But Stoltenberg, obviously the NATO chief, he came out pretty quickly afterwards to say, well, no, Trump is actually making good headway on this issue and that, you know, he might win the day there. We're not in any danger in this country, Gerald. The last time I looked, nobody has attacked the United Kingdom since the end of, towards the end of the Second World War. We're not in any danger of being attacked by any other country. But yet the military-industrial complex puppets like Trump and others want us to keep spending more money on guns and bombs and tanks and missiles and nuclear weapons while we have thousands and thousands of people in this city, Manchester, this great city, thousands, Gerald, living in doorways. And you know what, my friend? Not all of them have got drug addiction or alcohol addiction problems. Some of them are working very low-income jobs, but they can't get on the rent ladder. They can't rent. And while all that's going on, they're talking about spending billions more on guns. Nobody wants to attack us. What's going on?
No, you nailed it. I mean, you said it. What the hell are they doing with NATO? I mean, when did World War II end? How long ago? 1945? Yeah. And we've still got NATO? Well, you got to watch out for them Germans, I tell you. Didn't they the guys that started it? Oh, yeah, the second largest exporters in the world of product. I mean, what the hell is NATO doing? Oh, the Russians are coming. The Russians are coming. It's all, as you well put it, Richie Allen, the military-industrial complex. I'm tired of these guys dressed up in their military drag with all of their little buttons and bows on and saluting. Yeah, I salute the Vungle. Could you handle that? Had enough of your military crap. You're a bunch of guys that follow orders, and I don't follow yours. They are losers. The freaks have not won a war since World War II. They invade every damn country they want to. They slaughter millions of innocent people, and everyone has lockjaw. Hey, NATO, you did a great job in Libya, you goddamn freaks. You did a great job in Iraq, didn't you, you Americans and you British slimers? I don't mean the people, of course. I'm talking about that lowlife Blair. How about Afghanistan, NATO? Oh, I wonder why there are refugees in Germany. Can't figure it out. Where did they come from? Maybe Afghanistan. Hey, look what you did to Syria. One losing war after another committed by military freaks. And nobody wants to call these guys that love to get dressed up in military drag who they are because they're cowards. It's a nation of cowards saluting these people. Oh, look at that. Look at every time that little Catson Macron walks down the red carpet and Merkel and Trump, all these little guys saluting. I thought we had a revolution in America.
Yeah.
I thought it was freedom of the people. When did the military take over the government?
And somebody said to me, we were speaking about a year ago. We've spoken since, obviously, but we spoke about a year ago and we were talking about this. And someone said to me afterwards, what would it take for people to get agitated about this, to do something about it?
The people are gutless.
Yeah.
It's a gutless world. You know, look at Germany. Go back to World War II. I'll never forget being in Berlin in 2012. And looking across the street and looking at a beautiful German building. And at the same height, all new construction. Everywhere I went, an old building and all new construction. What took thousands of years to create was destroyed in a couple of years. It was going to come to an end. Why didn't the people stop it before it was all destroyed? I'll tell you why. Because most people are cowards. They will not fight for themselves. Oh, we need the police to protect us. Oh, we need those to protect us. Oh, we need a no bullying zone in school because I have a pecker that's smaller than Cameron's. All right?
I shouldn't laugh, but I can't help it. This is not even funny. Your segue, it is funny, obviously, the way you're saying it, but you're segueing into very, very serious territory now.
No, it is. People are cowards.
Yeah.
They won't stand up and fight for themselves. They look up to politicians. What grown adult would salute an asshole walking down a red carpet?
Yeah. Somebody said to me before, if people in our countries got a taste of the mayhem and carnage that people have to put up with in the countries you talked about, Libya. You made a very good point, obviously, about Libya. We even had a parliamentary report in this country which absolutely condemned the UK's actions. The Foreign Affairs Committee here had
Isn't that little bastard Blair in jail?
In jail, yeah. Why? Why is that the case?
Why? Yeah. Because they keep covering it up. It's one low-life country after another with people that are cowards. Oh, they go march out for the... Let's put out on our pink pussy hats. You know, let's go out and do this. They don't fight for the things that mean the most, and that's the freedom of the individual. That little bastard Blair should be hanging by his balls for what he did and Bush. Another little low-life piece of crap. Little penis Cheney, because I said bastard, I have to be proper now. I can't call penis Cheney Dick Cheney because that's who he is. And little Colin Powell, yeah, the guy that held up that little vial of crap that proved that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction. How come these people aren't in a Nuremberg trial? Because the whole world has been taken over by the globalists, the banksters, and the military-industrial complex, and everybody listening to this show, no matter what country you are, all you are is a plantation worker in Slavelandia.
This is what cheeses me off more than anything. The UK, I brought this up, I'm going to bring it up again because I want to get your take on this. Politicians themselves, led by a guy called Crispin Blunt at the time, the Foreign Affairs Committee, reported on Libya. And the language used against David Cameron in that report could not have been more strong, Gerald. They said that he lied effectively. We know that anyway. They said that they deliberately ignored the radical jihadists on the ground there that they were, of course, arming and funding. They deliberately ignored intelligence that said that Gaddafi wasn't, in fact, doing anything like, you know, attacking and bombing his own people. All of this stuff came out. It always comes out in the wash. So surely then it only takes somebody working in at the International Criminal Court. All it takes is for somebody to lift the phone up and say, right, well, there's all the evidence now. Put an arrest warrant out for David Cameron. It's as simple as that. They actually reported on it and said the guy was a criminal, effectively.
Why? How about Blair?
Well, the chill.
How about Bush? Yeah. How about Cheney? How about Clinton? How about all of them? Again, all we are slaves in Slavelandia. We work for the plantation owners. They give us the rules, and we got to abide by them. We can't break them to the minor level.
No.
But they could commit horrendous crimes, and then again, people love them. Look how they love Obama, the Nobel Peace of Crap Prize winner that brought us Libya, that had the troop surge in Afghanistan, that said Assad has to go. Look how the people love and miss that arrogant nothing of a boy. I don't call him a man. He's not a man. Bush isn't a man. Trump isn't a man. Obama's not a man. If you're a man, Junior, go out and lead the charge.
Yeah, pick up
you
a weapon.
You want to start a war? Dress up and lead the charge or shut your mouth. Oh, I got a better one for you, Trump. Send your little boy Kushner. Send your little boy, what's his name, Eric. Oh, and women, they're equal. Send Ivanka. Dress her up, man, and send her out to fight or shut your fat mouth.
Absolutely brilliant. And there's no more, speaking of, you know, the will of the people and that, there's no better evidence of us being slaves in Slavelandia, which is a brilliant way of putting it, than the fact that on June 23rd, 2016, I, along with 17.6 million, whatever it was, people, said no to the fascist dictatorship that is the European Union. And yet today, Gerald, and I know you forecast this, we're never getting out of that. It's the Eagles song. You can check out any time you like, but you can never leave. If ever you needed evidence of tyranny, you've got it right there, right?
Yeah, well, it's happening with, I think the beginning of the end of the European Union has happened. And I believe it's happened with Cinque Stelle in Italy and Lega in Italy.
Yeah.
It's also happening with AfD in Germany and the Freedom Party in Austria and what's going on in Hungary. I believe that it is the beginning of the end. And what you said about NATO, and you mentioned that other freak, what's his name, starts with an S.
Yeah, Stoltenberg, yeah.
Yeah, a little nothing of a little jerk off. And why would anybody listen to these people? Why would any self-respecting person not think for themselves and instead listen to these people? NATO is totally useless. You know, I was a keynote speaker at VMI, Virginia Military Institute, talking about New Millennium Warfare back in 2000. Generals are always fighting the last war. And that's all these guys and girls are doing with these moronic exercises that are stealing our money to feed the military-industrial complex. The next war will look nothing like the last wars. It's a waste of money. Aircraft carriers, yeah, they're as antiquated as battleships, one after another. It's going to be a whole different war. It's going to be biological. It's going to be cyber. It's going to be laser. It's going to be what we've never dreamed of. All of this is just to enrich the sick people that keep stealing our money and are psychopaths and sociopaths.
Folks, if you haven't checked out trendsresearch.com, check it out. Subscribe to the journal. Gerald Celente is our guest, and we've got Gerald for another 10 minutes or thereabouts. A terrific broadcaster, great writer, great speaker, and the journal is fantastic. I meant what I said earlier on, there ain't any brown nosing going on here. I've never known anybody to be as uncannily, and it's not uncanny really, his insight over the years proven, predicting trends through his own analysis and his ability to do that. Check out the journal, trendsresearch.com. Great to have Gerald back on the programme. Just a word on that European Union. We agree, I suppose, you and I probably agree on most things. I'm not convinced it's coming to an end.
I said this is the beginning of the end.
Yeah, that's right. You did say that, the beginning of the end. Yeah.
It's not going to end shortly. It will end at some point.
Do you know why I'm pessimistic about it? Do you remember when you and I spoke when Alexis Tsipras was elected in Greece with the Syriza party? And everybody rejoiced and everybody
and
said,
we
oh,
said he was a freak.
You and I both knew. In fact, you and I, and now look, I'm not a forecaster, I'm not a researcher like you, but I believe from the get-go that this guy was just another stooge and that he would eventually sell the people out, and he did. And I wonder about this five-star movement in Italy. Yep. That's all I'm saying. That's the only reason I'm a little bit dubious about whether...
The reason I think it's real is because it's all on the internet. The people have the say in that party. They're the ones that elect the people. It's all done on the internet. And when you look at Lega, and the two of them joining together and what some of their programs are and the things that they're doing, I think it's the beginning of the end. Don't forget who they wanted to pick as their finance minister.
That's right.
Paolo Savona. And Savona said it perfectly. He said, all we are colonies of Germany. And the Germans wanted the European zone, the EU, the EU zone, so they could have the currency, so they could export more product at a cheaper currency. Because if they had to do it in the Deutschmark, people wouldn't be buying their product because it was so expensive. That's why they want to be in the European Union. And again, the hypocrisy of the sick bastards that keep sending us to war. Hey, remember them Germans in World War II, huh? Yeah. Ah, we learned to hate those Germans, didn't we? Oh, and those Chinese, those communist Chinese? Oh, yeah, who would do business with communist Chinese? And now, of course, they do business with anybody. It's all about business, but they get us to hate other people because of the sick people that are running their governments. Who would have ever thought in 1946, a year after the war, that all of Europe, according to Paolo Savona, would be a colony of Germany?
Brilliant. And you know something, my friend? There is a book out there. There's not many copies of it. And it was written by the Rath Foundation. And Matthias Rath, I think it's called, The Nazi Roots of the Brussels EU. And it talks about how so many of the very key figures in the early establishment, the Treaty of Rome and everything else, they were all Nazis, lawyers. A guy called Walter Hallstein, of course, you'll know all about this, Gerald, but it's a great read for anybody who wants to look into to that. Gerald is right. What they failed to do in World War II and the corporate giants that supported the Nazis in the Second World War, they're doing now by stealth. And everything you said there about the German economy and how the euro was set up to suit them, absolutely brilliant. It's absolutely, it's 100% true. Here's a quick question for you. Why did the new coalition government in Italy not tell the Brussels EU where to go when they said they didn't want Paolo Savona? You see, that really cheesed me off. Why didn't they say, we'll have whoever we want?
I think it was just a bargaining chip. And again, I think the long term is going to be against it. Because when you, it's going, it, the people are tired of the establishment, and it's going to just become a part of, it's going to end at some point. You know, I want to make the, I just want to digress for one moment. And I was talking about how as a kid, you know, they had us morons, stupid damn morons called teachers, and the civil defense and all the political officials had kids hiding under desks in case an atom bomb went off. How damned stupid could you be? If a bomb goes off, jerk off, is it going to save your life because you're under a desk, moron? And they had all of us doing that. Then when we got too big to hide under the desks, the same jerk offs, or I should be proper, I'm speaking to someone in England, the same wankers had us out in the hall with our hands behind our head, like that was going to save us.
Yeah.
The point that I'm making, they taught us for generations to hate them commies, gotta hate them commies. Those. Oh, and then there was the Vietnam War, and I'm Vietnam War age. You know, I was prime draft bait. Those commies, they're going to take over Vietnam. And before you know it, them dominoes are going to keep falling. And they'll fall on the shores of California. And the commies will take over. I'm not making that up. I'm not making that up. Now, all of a sudden, we're dealing with China. The corporation sold out the American people and the European people by doing business with China so they could use slave labor going back to the 90s, late 90s, and into 2000s, so they could get their products made very cheaply, bring them back, get rid of all the jobs, and drive up their profits and sell them back to the people. Now, I'm saying to myself, wait a minute. They taught us to go to wars, to spend trillions of dollars, kill millions of people, because we can't trust them commies. And now what do you hear from President Xi? He's always bragging about Marxism, about being a communist country. Oh, and by the way, the state-run organizations, SROs, they're the biggest company in China. But yet, it's okay to do business with them. But boy, oh boy, when it's time to go to war, we'll sacrifice anybody's life and the joy and beauty of humanity anytime we can to fill one of our sick mental problems
absolutely.
The politicians have.
If only I could believe in an afterlife, my friend. You and I were raised Roman Catholic. Well, I'm making a big assumption there about you, but I presume you were. And
But I don't believe in that.
Me neither. Me neither. No, I'd like
to. You know what I just figured out?
Go on.
Do you know why in a Catholic church they say that you can't get married, you can't have sex until you get married?
Go on. Dare I ask?
The priest didn't want any competition.
Oh, Jesus. That's absolutely...
Who would have known? I mean, look what's going on.
It's dreadful, isn't it? I covered this. My career started in the late 1990s in Ireland. And I covered this horror.
That's why the Irish drink. They believed in all this stuff.
They believed, yeah.
And then the priest did this to all these young boys. I'd be drinking too. I was the only kid in Christ the King's school that wasn't an altar boy.
I'm going to give you a gag, but I bet you've heard of it. We're going to finish on a positive. I'm the worst joke teller of all time, me. But I'm going to try a gag. It's a great gag. And some people are going to find this very offensive. But I couldn't give a shite, as we say in God's country, if there is a God. Right, this is a joke, right? So a woman is going to confession, Gerald. And she's confessing to the priest. And she said, "Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been 6 weeks since my last confession. I gave a man a..." I'm going to say it. It's after the watershed. "I gave a man a blowjob, Father," she said. "And that man was not my husband." And the priest said, "Right, hang on a second, let me think." And he leans out of the little vestibule, the confession box, and he says to a passing altar boy, "What does Father Murphy give for a blowjob in terms of penance?" And the altar boy says, "A Mars bar and a packet of crisps." It's terrible. I didn't tell it that well, but there you are. Just before you go, very fine. I know you've got more people to speak to, and thanks for your very generous charity laugh at my terrible joke. Just before you do go, friends of ours believe that, I mean, it's hard to fathom this. Is Hillary Clinton going to run in 2020?
Who cares? You know, why not? It's a freak show. Keep it going, you know. As I said, it's the greatest freak show on earth. No, I think you're going to see somebody else eclipse her. The reason Hillary Clinton lost is because people couldn't stand her. And that's the bottom line. And between Trump and Clinton, they were the two of the most unpopular presidential candidates we've ever had in recent history. And, you know, by the way, when I talk against war, I put my money where my heart is. I launched Occupy Peace, as you know.
Yeah, I should mention
And I had
that.
Ralph Nader here, Cindy Sheehan, Dr. Robert Thurman, Uma Thurman's father, Gary Null from the city. And I, you know, I make it happen. And on September 22nd of this year in Colonial Kingston, New York, I'm launching an Occupy Peace Festival. We're closing down the streets and we're going to, and the slogan of Occupy Peace is liberty, love, joy, and beauty. Join the evolution. I realized, Richie, that when I had an anti-war Occupy Peace, nobody really cared about it because, as you well know, the wars keep going on and there's no protests.
Yeah.
So I'm broadening out into a greater field to bring peace into the true meaning of what it means. Liberty, love, joy, and beauty. So anybody that wants to join the evolution, it's going to be here on September 22nd in Colonial Kingston, New York, 90 miles north of New York City, where the seeds of democracy was sown. And that's a true story. We have the most historic four corners in America. Most of the Constitution of America came from the Constitution that when Kingston was the first capital of New York State, John Jay and other Supreme Court justices were judges here. So that's when I talk angrily about the destruction of humanity by these sick people, I mean it, and I want to see peace on earth and I'm doing everything I can to make it happen.
The sincerity shines out of you, Gerald. It always has. When that website is available, look, my website is not big. It's not, you know, it's not huge. It's not like trendsresearch.com. But we'll put a banner on the website to that event, because it's great. And I look forward to speaking to you in the autumn or the fall, as you say, before that. And it's always a pleasure, mate. You're fantastic. Trendsresearch.com, folks. Read the journal. Read the journal. Support brilliant independent journalism like you've just heard from Gerald Celente. Because if you don't, you know, we're not going to have it in the future. Thanks, mate. Love speaking to you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. And support Richie Allen, because not many men do what he does. Thank you, Richie.
Cheers, Gerald. Bye for now. The great Gerald Celente. Lovely to have Gerald back on the programme. Live from NYC today. Check out trendsresearch.com. And believe me, I'm lucky I get a copy of the journal sent to me because of, obviously, my contact with Gerald, and I read it. But it's worth subscribing to. It really is, for a couple of bucks a month. Right, 22 and a half minutes to the top of the hour. I'm going to take some music now for a breather. And I can't believe I told that joke. Oh, Jesus Christ. You see, if we ever are Ofcom licensed, ever, that's it. There, you're gone. Forget about warning 1, 2, 3. Forget about fine 1, 2, 3. You're gone. I told that so badly. This is Madonna. Back when Madonna was interesting, about 40 years ago. Back in a couple of minutes. That's a pop song. That is a pop song. Madonna, Borderline on the Richie Allen Show. 81, I'm guessing. I didn't look. I could look. 81, 82. It's got to be 81, has it? This is your Richie Allen Show, 18 minutes to the top of the hour. You heard Gerald Celente there, top man. Michael Rivero, also a top man in the first hour. Sky News and others are reporting. I shouldn't laugh because, I don't know, I shouldn't laugh. Apparently there's an incident involving a man outside the ZZ restaurant where the Skripals dined before falling ill. So police are dealing with an incident involving a man outside the ZZ restaurant where the Skripals dined even before falling ill. So basically, the media is going mad with this and the possibility that somebody else has been exposed to a substance. Maybe, just maybe, they need to look at what's on the menu at this restaurant, maybe. I don't know. Maybe. People are keeling over coming out of it. What are they serving there? Novichok burgers with a side of sarin fries. What the fuck, like? What's going on? Ridiculous. And while I was, well, Jean Ann was here and I was chatting with Jean Ann, I read that they're now, the lies are becoming so pathological, so outrageous. They're now saying that a substance, Novichok, which we know as a matter of fact, has a very low shelf life. It doesn't last very long. Doesn't survive very long, can be washed away very easily. They now want us to believe that it can be active and dangerous for 50 years. I mean, they must think we're absolutely stupid, right? Beyond belief, right?
What kind of fuckery is this?
That's what Sky are saying. Police are dealing with an incident involving a man outside the ZZ restaurant where the Skripals dined before falling ill. Do you know what? If you go and eat in one of these chains, you deserve what you fucking get. End of story. Go to a real restaurant run by a family, run by a real chef. I'm sick of these chains everywhere. These shitty fucking restaurants that are advertised as Italian or French or Spanish, and they're not really. It's part of a big chain. Everything is brought in frozen and it's crap. I've had the unfortunate experience recently of eating in one of these things, masquerading as a real restaurant. It's just a fucking canteen with fancy tables and chairs and a nice sign and some nice lighting inside. Crap. Crap. I had a steak in one of these places. You want to see the state of it? I had to send it back. It was obviously frozen, right? So when I cut it open, first of all, it wasn't cooked properly. There was no blood. It was just crap. And eventually they came out, what's wrong? I said, what do you think is wrong? Look at the fucking state of that. Give me another one. So they went and they said, yeah, it was a terribly bad cut, so they gave me another one. What do you mean it's a bad cut? Could you not see that yourself? Don't go to these chains. You see these restaurants like ZZ and others, they're just one step above McDonald's anyway. Crap. Everything has been corporatised and fucking ruined. Ruined. I used to, you know, when we lived in Spain all these years, and I know I've got listeners in Spain, so I know they listen to me and they'd totally appreciate this. The wonderful thing in Spain is going to the local Ventas. Oh, Jesus, I think of it. See, it's the thing I miss about Spain more than anything. You rock up to a Venta. There was a couple of them in Spain that we loved. Venta Victoria, Venta La Choza. My God. Mom and pop restaurants. My God, the food was to die for. And you could afford to feed the whole family. Well, there wasn't a whole family. It was just me and Caroline. Beautifully cooked, homemade food. Served by the owners. Chatting to you. Speaking with you. Having a drink with you afterwards. Christ, that's the way it used to be. Now you have these chains everywhere. Nando's. What a pile of fucking puke that is. You know, people tell me, I said, what did you do over the weekend? Went to a restaurant. Where did you go? Nando's. You didn't go to a restaurant. You fucked hard. That's not a restaurant. That ain't a restaurant. That's a glorified fucking Burger King. With MSG shoveled onto the food, monosodium glutamate shoveled on. So you come out and you haven't eaten that much, but your stomach is about 6 feet in front of you. What's wrong with me? Why am I so bloated? Because it's fucking crap. Sorry for swearing. Drives me mad. That's triggered me, that photograph on Sky News of ZZ has triggered me. these shit restaurants pretending to be restaurants, and they're not. Unbelievable. So that's the story. The BBC, I'm looking at the BBC there. They've got nothing on it yet, I don't think. They're just scaring the shit out of people. This is a mind fuck operation on the people. There might not be any collapse outside of ZZ. But the authorities just have to say that. Cordon off areas, send screaming ambulances down the road. And you know what it does? It keeps people in a permanent state of unease. People are constantly wound up. Excuse me. Had some water a second ago there. People are wound up, constantly uneasy. They don't know why. Why am I constantly wound up? Constant sirens everywhere, all the time. Same here in Manchester, in South Manchester. You can't go 5 minutes without the screaming sounds of a siren. There can't be that many fucking accidents. There can't be that many people who've fallen ill at home. Surely? When I was living in London, I said to David Icke in London, I said, you know what? I'm beginning to think this is a conspiracy. That ambulance and fire engine drivers and police car drivers are told to turn the sirens on for no reason. And Ike said to me, why? And I said, to keep people absolutely fucking on edge. Constantly on edge. It's the same. I go outside the house and I head for the Fallowfield loop and it could be in the early AM and there's a siren somewhere. What's going on? This is not a violent city. This is not a city that's being overrun with criminals. Our drivers here are no worse than the drivers anywhere else. And yet, no matter where you go, woo! Not all the time. It's the worst impression of a siren you've ever heard in your life. Keeping people on edge, uneasy, all the time. Noise everywhere. Anyway, I'm going to take a break. Maybe I'll take a permanent break. I'll take a break. Back in a minute.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever. Forever.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Introducing the H2O app, a powerful water structuring application that programs vibrational energies into water through the use of different sound frequencies. Once programmed, the use of water for drinking, cooking, bathing. Give it to your friends and colleagues or spread it around the garden. The list goes on. It's not just water that the app can be used for either. It's great for programming crystals too. The H2O app is free to download and is available on both Android and Apple platforms. For further information, go to h2oapp.online.
The Richie Allen Show relies on your support. Go to richieallen.co.uk and set up a monthly donation today.
Welcome back. I'm looking for... Yeah, here we go. Go on for the laugh. Can I do it? Can I get away with it? Yeah, go on. I'm going to play this. Go on. I shouldn't do it. No, that's not it. I'm going to play this. My little mini rant there. I'm going to play this.
A mad prophet of the airways, Howard Beale.
Listen up now. This is Network, Peter Finch's Network. Howard Beale. Marvellous.
Today, Edward George Ruddy was the chairman of the board of the Union Broadcasting Systems, and he died at 11 o'clock this morning of a heart condition, and woe is us. We're in a lot of trouble.
So, a rich little man with white hair died. What has that got to do with the price of rice, right? And why is that woe to us? Because you people and 62 million other Americans are listening to me right now. Because less than 3% of you people read books. Because less than 15% of you read newspapers. Because the only truth you know is what you get over this tube. Right now, there is a whole, an entire generation that never knew anything that didn't come out of this tube. This tube is the gospel, the ultimate revelation. This tube can make or break presidents, popes, prime ministers. This tube is the most awesome goddamn force in the whole godless world. And woe is us if it ever falls into the hands of the wrong people. And that's why woe is us that Edward George Ruddy died. Because this company is now in the hands of CCA, the Communication Corporation of America. There's a new chairman of the board, a man called Frank Hackett, sitting in Mr. Ruddy's office on the 20th floor. And when the 12th largest company in the world controls the most awesome goddamn propaganda force in the whole godless world, who knows what shit will be peddled for truth on this network? So you listen to me. Listen to me. Television is not the truth. Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. But man, you're never going to get any truth from us. We'll tell you anything you want to hear. We lie like hell. We'll tell you that Kojak always gets the killer and that nobody ever gets cancer in Archie Bunker's house. And no matter how much trouble the hero is in, don't worry, just look at your watch. At the end of the hour, he's going to win. We'll tell you any shit you want to hear. We deal in illusions, man. None of it is true. But you people sit there day after day, night after night, all ages, colors, creeds. We're all you know. You're beginning to believe the illusions we're spinning here. You're beginning to think that the tube is reality and that your own lives are unreal. You do whatever the tube tells you. You dress like the tube. You eat like the tube. You raise your children like the tube. You even think like the tube. This is mass madness, you maniacs. In God's name, you people are the real thing. We are the illusion. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
And then he dropped dead of a heart attack. The actor Peter Finch playing Howard Beale in Sidney Lumet's Network, which is one of the greatest films of all time. Prophetic, way ahead of its time film. He could be talking now about the internet, of course, and smartphones and tablets. Then he was talking about the television and how right he was in what he said about the television then and now. Amazing stuff. I can't recommend that film highly enough. So I can't. Yeah. I can't get any more information on Salisbury and this Zizi restaurant. So there you go. There might be some developments and I might be able to tell you more about it tomorrow. But I'm sure you're well capable of finding out for yourself in the meantime. Right, tomorrow I'm live at 4 p.m. UK time to make up for my couple of days away with Jean Anne this week. So I've only really missed one show this week then, because I did Sunday, I did Monday, of course. I did tonight, and I'll do tomorrow. And we'll be back, of course, on Sunday at 11 a.m. UK time with Sunday View as usual. So do join me tomorrow. I look forward to your company if you can. Not to worry if you can't catch it live at 4, because it'll be immediately repeated at 7 p.m. And before that even, it'll be on Podomatic and will be hopefully on YouTube as well. I'm doing the YouTube uploads. I think I did this last week, but I want to do it again. I want to pay tribute to Simon Stewart, wonderful guy, great friend, and I hope I won't be losing touch with Simon. He's a terrific man and did the YouTube uploads forever, so he did, and never wanted anything for it, ever. But Simon works very, very, very long hours, and the fact that YouTube haven't allowed us to monetize the content for so long left me feeling very guilty asking Simon to do that. So I said to Simon, he didn't say it, I said it, you're not doing the YouTube uploads anymore because it's not fair. You're doing 14-hour days in your own job and then you have to come home and do that. You're not doing it. When we were getting money, Simon got a percentage of the YouTube money that came in. Of course, he didn't ask for it, but he got it. So I'm just going to put the whole shows on YouTube, minus the music. It's a pain in the arse to do it, but I'm going to do it anyway because there are people who, stubborn people, who don't want to use Podomatic and they don't want to use Spotify. Fair enough, I'll do it on YouTube until I get tired of it. And I will get tired of it and I will stop doing it. And it's got nothing to do with money. It's got nothing to do with that. It's just time consuming to do it. But I will put every show on YouTube. I want to pay tribute to Simon Stewart. Amazing guy. And I hope it's not the last that I've heard of him and that the Richie Allen Show has heard of him, because he's one of the good guys. There are not many people like him in the world. Top man is Simon Stewart. Leaving you with this from Kings of Leon, one of my favourite bands, and this is my favourite song by them. It's a song called Back Down South, closing out Thursday's Richie Allen Show. Can't thank Gerald Celente and Mike Rivero highly enough, old friends of mine. Loved listening to their thoughts on the news today on your Richie Allen Show. Look after yourselves and one another. See you tomorrow.